flashed us a long time, hadn't it? Chapter 10 in the Gospel of Luke, look down in verse 38 with me. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part,'" boy, I like that good part, "'which shall not be taken away from her.'" You can be seated. The Lord help us. I just kind of want to maybe pick up where Brother Logan left off. We see these two women, and there's a complete difference in what they're doing when the Lord comes into the house. One's doing one thing, the other's doing another thing. And so it is many times in the church world today. We really don't see much true godliness anymore. True godliness, every part of it, every matter of it, is a matter of desire. Man will not pray unless he desires to do so. Man will not persevere unless he desires to do so. Man cannot preach, cannot sing, man cannot worship, man will not have faith unless he desires to do it and to have it. True godliness is a matter of desire. When God saved me 41 years ago, He birthed a desire in me to worship Him and to serve Him and to honor and praise Him and to live for Him and to mind Him and please Him. And that desire has never left. That desire after 41 years is still strong today. I want to please Him. He's the one that I desire to please. He's the one that I desire to worship and serve. He's the one this morning that I realize can do all things. He's the one that can save Brother Logan's daughters. He's the one that can save my boy and my grandchildren. And I desire to please Him, because if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. And my desire is to lift Him up that others may see Him and see His holiness and His love and mercy and grace. I tell you this morning, every part of true godliness is a matter of desire. Amen. Do you have that desire? Coming to church and being faithful is a matter of desire. Dressing right and acting right is a matter of desire. Every part of it. True, I'm talking about true godliness. Yeah. I'm not talking about fake godliness. Right. Like the fake news that we hear today. There's a lot of fake in the church today. Right. There's a lot today that fakes it and wants to impress people instead of impressing God. And so they fake it because God is not in the business of fakery this morning. God honors true godliness. And we find Martha here. She's not much concerned about being at the feet of Jesus. But then we find Mary. She sat at His feet and heard His word. Her heart was upon being in His presence. Her heart was set upon worshiping and hearing Him. But Martha, as many are today, was cumbered and troubled about much serving. We got into a religious atmosphere in the church today that has nothing to do with true godliness. Our desires and our priorities are out of perspective. We've taken the carnal, natural things and put them ahead of the spiritual things of God. And as the brother has already preached, we're in a mess. We're losing the battle today. I'm seeing churches with the windows barred up and the doors locked and no man of God to preach. I'm seeing those that are looking for a pastor but can't find one. I'm seeing pastors looking for churches but can't find them. We've got our priorities out of perspective and it's killing us in the church world today. It's because of no true godliness. True godliness leads to something that brings the joy that Brother Bright preached about this morning. True godliness brings about true spirituality. And we're not seeing much true spirituality in the church in this day. What is true spirituality? It's leading and coming from true godliness always leads to true spirituality. You say, what does that mean, preacher? A desire to be holy rather than happy. Right. And we got a lot of people wants to be happy, but they don't want to be holy. Right. And you know what it is? They don't have no true godliness about them, and they have no true spirituality about them. Most people today want to be happy. Did you know this morning that joy that he preached about is a Holy Ghost word that don't fit in the natural vocabulary of men? Happiness does. But holiness does not. Happy does, but joy does not. Did you know that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? There's no righteousness apart from the Holy Ghost. There's no peace apart from the Holy Ghost. There's no joy apart from the Holy Ghost. So all of these are Holy Ghost words. And these things are brought about by true spirituality, which comes from true godliness. What's your desire? Mary's desire was to be in the presence of Jesus, to listen to what He had to say. Martha's desire was somewhere else. She's worried about the carnal things. She's worried about pleasing the men. And Mary was concerned about pleasing God. She came to Jesus, Martha did, expecting Jesus to tell Mary to do what she's doing. But instead, Jesus told her to do what Mary was doing. Listen, true spirituality brings forth a certain dominant desires in a Christian's life that nothing else will. Not only a desire to be holy rather than happy, but a desire to see the honor of God advance, even if it means a loss for yourself. Seeing the honor of God lifted up, even if you have to suffer loss. Listen, a true spirituality is a desire to die right rather than live wrong. And we're living in a day we don't see much true spirituality, because there's not much true godliness today. What's your desire? True godliness breeds certain dominant desires that puts those desires in the heart of the child of God, that produces true spirituality in his life. And that true spirituality becomes a witness for the cause of Christ, because true spirituality brings forth those dominant desires that lift up Jesus Christ. Yes. And then others look upon the life of that individual that is proclaiming, that is testifying, that is showing true spirituality, and it has an effect upon the sinner.
Right.
You don't have to be a preacher to have an effect upon a sinner.
Right.
My great aunt and one of the best Christians I ever knew, I seen true spirituality in her. And she had an effect upon me as a young boy. As it was you, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? I didn't know I was going to preach this. I told Brother Milby this morning, I said, it's on my heart to preach something else. You remember what I said? And I was going to until Brother Logan preached. And then God just changed it. And changed it to this. I had nothing to do with it, because my desire was to please him.
Yeah, yeah.
My desire was to do what he wanted me to do and be obedient unto him. Oh, church, listen today. As a brother preached, we're in a mess. And many in our churches today, I'm not saying you, God will deal with you. I can't deal with you. I can't deal with my people. God has to deal with them. But I won't say this morning. There's many more Marthas today than there are Marys today in our churches. It's because of no true godliness. And true godliness is the only thing that will lead to true spirituality. Nothing else will. When God saved you, boy, you could do a lot of things some people can that they can't do now. When God saves you, in those first few days, weeks, and months, and sometimes even years, is the most exciting, most joyful time in your life. Boy, you feel so good. Just to clean and realize what happened to you down on the inside. And you're so happy about it. So joyful about it. You want to tell everybody about it. You want to show yourself, and you want to look at God and say, God, I want to please you. I want you to help me to do right and be right. And boy, that's what's on your mind. You don't want to miss a church service. You want to pray every day several times. You want to pick up the Bible and read it and read it and read it. You want to fellowship with the other brethren and talk with them and love them. And then after so long a time, many, not all, but many lose that desire.
Yeah.
It begins to die down. And they begin to fade away. I've seen it in my church. I've experienced and seen it happen to some of my former church members. Seem like they're really on fire for God. And then all of a sudden it just died down. Start missing on Wednesday night. Quit testifying. Then start missing on Sunday night. And then when they come, their countenance ain't right. Lose their amens. Lose their testifying. Used to shout, but they don't now. I can spot it. I've been pastoring now for nearly 40 years. And I can see it when it comes upon some of them. And it breaks my heart. I want to go to them, Brother Hyde, say, wake up. Wake up. What's the matter? Don't you see what you're doing? Don't you see you're losing your spirituality? Don't you see that you're losing the best thing that ever happened to you, going away from it?
That's right.
I'm not talking about losing their salvation now. But I'm talking about losing their fellowship. Losing that desire to be spiritual. Because they've quit practicing and desiring true godliness in their lives. And that's where we're at today as a whole, I believe. I got a smaller number now, almost as small as I had when I started. Been there for about 37, 8 years. I don't know, I'll have to count it up. Since 1982, you can count it. A little bit before that, really, that's when we built the building. We had church in my brother-in-law's basement for several months before we got the building built. But I look out now and I think, Lord, what's happened? I ain't done nothing up there. I'm still preaching the same way. I'm still doing what I always done. What's happened? Half my church has left in the last several years. I'm down to just a handful. Done nothing no different. Most of them went to liberal churches. Not a one of them went to a conservative. Not a one of them went to an old-time church. Every one of them went to liberal church. They went Martha's way instead of Mary's way. And if you're not careful, you start losing your desire or desires that God gave you when He saved you. And He gave them to you. If you're born again, He gave you them desires. He birthed them into you. And you know what keeps true godliness where it's supposed to be? True spirituality. There's nothing in this whole world that's like having the presence of Jesus Christ down in your heart and soul.
Right.
And you aware that He's right there and that He's loving on you.
Right.
And you're looking up to Him and thinking, oh, what a Savior.
Right.
Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how lovely that He is. He's altogether lovely. And you can't get over the wonder of it and the amazement of it. And he just pulls you up, Brother Logan, and grabs you sometimes and pulls you right up to him. And you know without doubt that he is your all in all. And that he loves you with a love that's everlasting. And that he's going to watch over you and take care of you. That he's going to help you in every matter of your life. He's going to take care of your family. He's going to see that you got food and clothing. But more than that, you just let you see his holiness and love. There's nothing like that.
Yes.
I'm talking about true spirituality. I love them times when it just gets along with me. It ain't nobody but me and him. Everybody and everything else is gone. And sometimes they may be all around, but to me they're gone. And all I can see is him. And all I care about's him. And all I'm wondering about's him. You can't get that anywhere else. They ain't nobody loves you like he does. Sister Parker saying, nobody cares for me like he does. I know this morning that being in his presence is the best thing that can happen in a man's life, is having those times when he comes into your personal being and makes you to know that you're completely satisfied with him. True spirituality. Would you rather be holy or happy? You rather see God glorified? Or had you rather be glorified? A lot of preachers won't be glorified. A lot of preachers jealous of other preachers. Because they get to preach more than they do. Or they think maybe they preach the better message or something. Brother Logan said it right. Who are we trying to please? My grandpa's 90 years old. 1984, he died. Day after Christmas. Lived in a little old shack that some of you wouldn't even use for an outbuilding. Cracks in the floor. Never had running water in his house in all of his life. Never had a bathroom. Never had a... I can't even remember him having a radio. An old wood stove sitting in the middle of the floor. And after God called me to preach, he had several grandsons. Seven children, and most of them had grandsons and granddaughters. I'd have to take time to count them up. But when God called me to preach, none of them was saved. My grandpa was a Christian man. He showed true spirituality to me when I was just a boy. I'd go visit him. I'd preach revivals around in 3 or 4 counties. I'd go get him, had an old Chevrolet pickup truck, about ready to fall down. And he said, I won't go with you to meeting. Up in his 80s, I said, Grandpa, it's pretty good ways up there. And I said, I'm going to get home for probably midnight, maybe after midnight before I get home. He said, I don't care, I'm going to go with you. He'd go with me to revivals. He'd pray. As I preach, he'd be praying. I'd go to his house. I never went to his house. I never got saved. Never went to his house. He said, get ready to leave. He said, son, we got to have prayer now before you leave. Get down in that old floor and pray and feel the presence of God coming in that little old shack. And boy, you'd have thought it's a mansion when God come in there. And we'd rejoice together and hug, pat on each other and glorify God. Say, what was that, preacher? Nobody around. My step-grandmother. But that's true spirituality. That come from a desire to be in the presence and at the feet of Jesus Christ like Mary was. That brought forth truth. She never even spoke anything in defense of herself. It's like Brother Logan preached, she didn't have to. Right. Jesus done the defending.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that reproved Martha. Mary didn't have to say a word.
Right.
Said, preacher, here you are, almost 70 years old, getting in front of these people and these kids and crying like a little boy. He's worth crying for. I'd cry in front of a president and congress if I was there. God bless me.
Amen.
He's worth living for. He's well worth pleasing. I've never come across anybody like him. I ain't never seen nobody like him. You say you see him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I see him in the eye of faith continually. Let me say this and I'll be through. This happened to me many years ago. Before God called me to preach, I hadn't been saved, but about 3 months probably. Wasn't no work in my area. Had my wife and my son was less than a year old. I didn't have no job. Didn't know where money's going to come from. How it's going to take care of them. And I said, told my wife, I said, I'm going to look for a job today. And I got in an old car I had and headed out to Lexington, Kentucky, which is about 50 miles west of me. I got to Lexington and I'd done body work on cars, fixed and rebuild wrecks and paint them. All kinds of body shops in Lexington, but I prayed as I was going down the road. I kept praying, asking God to lead me and help me. Got to Lexington, he said, just go on to where I'd lived up there before. It's where I met my wife. And worked up there. And so I drove up there to Hamilton, Ohio. And in probably 2 hours' time, I had the pick of 3 or 4 jobs. I could go to either one. And all of them paid good. So I took one of those jobs. And my wife and son moved in with my mom and dad. And I worked through the week, and I'd drive home on Friday evening, go to church and leave out Sunday evening and go back. And I was staying in a motel up there. This went on for like a month, and I was searching for a house to rent and to live in. I couldn't find one. And I was staying in a little old motel one night, and I really got worried, and I know I couldn't keep driving, staying in motels. And I really got worried, and I got down by my bed one night, and I began to pray. I never had that experience but that time, that real. And as I prayed, fear filled my heart. Not for fear of not having a house or God answering my prayers, but fear of His presence. It was a holy presence that come in that room. And it was him, brother. It wasn't no mistake. And I was laying down that bed and I was afraid to look around. Because he's standing up there. And he had his hand on me. And I was afraid to look up. I was afraid to look around. And I stayed in that position. I don't know how long I stayed there in that position. So afraid to move. I don't know exactly why I was so afraid, but I was. And after a while, the fear eased off. And the next day, the very next day, I went to work. On the way from work, I stopped at a man I'd rented a house from years before. And he was from up my way, but he'd been up there a long time, and he had several houses in that area that he rented. He's a wealthy man. And I knocked on his door, and I said, "Mr. Kinzer, do you remember me?" And he said, "I sure do." He said, "You lived in my house down here on the corner for about a year." I said, "Yes, sir." And he looked at me. I said, "Some things has changed." And he said, "What's changed?" I said, "The Lord saved me, and I'm not the person I used to be." And he smiled because he's a Christian man. And he said, "I said, have you got a house that I could rent?" He said, "How'd you like to have the same one you lived in?" I said, "But somebody lives in it. I've done past." He said, "They're moving next week." He said, "It's all yours." That's what I was praying for the night before. God, give me a place to live so I could bring my family. True spirituality put you in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus Christ brings something in your heart that nothing or nobody else can. And being in His presence on a regular basis brings about a satisfaction and a contentment that this world can't take. And those dominant desires will keep bubbling up. And I preached this for years and I'm through. Knowing the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, knowing and studying the Word of God is not enough. The Word of God must be applied unto your life. That's the only way that true godliness flows over into true spirituality. Is that Word of God applied, that desire fulfilled that God gave you when He saved you. And you know, when one desire is fulfilled, He gives other desires. And they're all to glorify Him and to lift Him up. Church, as Brother Logan preached, it really helped my heart, brother.